Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Revolution Radio. This is Dr. Kate, broadcasting live from Tucson, Arizona. It's cool out today. It's only 80 degrees and a little windy. I'd like to start off this evening with just a reading from Psalm 34:10. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. It's always good, I think, to start with a prayer. I think that's new for this section of Revolution Radio. I know Walls in Our Minds always does that, and it's very important. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our soldiers, active and retired. Welcome to all you listeners out there, those who will be listening later to this show. Tonight we're going to cover the third and fourth letters to the IRS written by Red Beckman in his book, great little book called Do Unto the IRS as They Would Do Unto You. And these letters are to an imaginary IRS agent and are intended to give the taxpayer some comprehension of the mentality of anyone who would be a tax collector and how this is really really an assault on our society and assault on an individual. And it is an attempt to replace our true God with the government's God. And it is an effort that will not succeed. In the days preceding the American Revolution, many of the ministers were preaching freedom from their pulpits. The king was taxing his subjects at a rate of over 14%. Ministers spoke out against such outrage and motivated many to join the fight for freedom. The first freedom fighters in our country were really taxpayers, tax protesters. He who is willing to die for freedom takes less risk than he who is afraid to resist tyranny. In the first two letters I read, and this book, by the way, is being reprinted and will be out and available hopefully sometime soon, perhaps online. But it's something that you should take a look at. And I hope that you listen to the archive and take down the notes and have an opportunity to really work with these. Last week we read the second letter, plus a section called How to Enjoy an IRS Audit, which has 14 very useful points that are necessary to begin to deal with the IRS. Remember, there are a couple of great radio internet sites. One is called Freedom Law School, and there's plenty of good information there on how to take on the IRS and the fundamental basis for the illegality of the 16th Amendment. And there's agentfortruth.com, which is Joe Bannister's site. Joe Bannister was a former IRS agent who basically found out the truth about the income tax and quit and spoke out about it. So let's start. Last week we read letter number two, and a couple of weeks before that we read letter number one. Also, my website, drkatesview.wordpress.com, has all of these letters written up, and they will be forthcoming. As you know, what this Wednesday is, I can't stress to you how important it is right now that we create a record of resistance. It is not okay to have given consent, and our consent has been given by our silence, to have the government take more than 50% of your income and keep going. If any of you have older relatives, older parents who are living on Social Security, that Social Security was a tax on their income as they made their lives work. Those are still being taxed. It is outrageous. The retirement age, probably when I get ready to retire, will rise to 99. And we have these tax-benefiting public servants who continue to raise taxes, extend the age for retirement, and so forth. Now, remember, we're talking about a tax on the gifts that you have and that you give through your labor, through your creativity. For myself, I'm a natural resource problem solver. And what they try to do is they try to tax your brain and tax your God-given gifts. It's not only been ruled illegal by the United States Supreme Court, it goes against everything that our Constitution helped protect for us. So let's start right in with letter number three. I'm going to check in the chat to say hello, good evening, hi Tenacity, and hi Bob, nice to see you all and those who are listening and not signed in. And good evening, Red Beckman. I gave you a live mic. How are you this evening? Hi, Red. Okay, Red, when you get ready to talk, just please press a 1. And otherwise, I'm going to start right in. We are lucky, everyone, to have the author of this book and these letters right here with us this evening. Okay, letter number three. Dear Mr., Mrs., Ms., and Dr., IRS agents, greetings. This will be letter number three in my series of letters to you. In my first letter, I warned you of the illegality of your demand for an audit of my books and records. You took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. This means you will defend my First, Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment right to tell you and the IRS to go jump into Hades. I also diagnosed a very serious mental problem which is causing much stress for you. Not only were you diagnosed and advised of your illness, but you were also started on a course of treatment and therapy. My concern for your well-being has motivated me to write these letters. My hope is that you will respond to treatment, but the choice will be yours. If you do not wish to recognize your problem, I'm sure those who read the book and that containing these letters will. You will be like the town drunk. Everyone will know about your problem, but you will still try to hide the truth. The town drunk will not be cured until he becomes honest with himself. Neither will your mental problem be solved until you are honest with yourself. In this letter, I hope to focus on one of the factors contributing to your illness. Your problem is not organic in origin, nor is it inherited. Your illness has been induced and cultivated by several external factors, which will be addressed in this letter and in those to follow. The public school is the area of concern, and we will call them government schools from here on. The term public school is not accurate and is therefore deceiving. Tax monies are used to finance schools where tax consumers control what is caught. Control what is taught. I guess you'd get caught, too. This is not what our founding fathers had in mind when this nation was formed. The churches were operating the schools, and we were to have separation of church and state. There was to have been separation of school and state as well as church and state. Government has been man's worst enemy on planet Earth. And if we allow our schools to be controlled by man's enemy, the result is brainwashing. The government of Nazi Germany became the worst enemy of the German people when the minds of the people became dependent upon government information and education. Excuse me one second. Got to pick up a note here. There we go. Okay. All tyrannies in history have been created by masses of people who believed what their government told them. The people of Russia were told how bad the Americans are, while we tell our people how bad the Russians are. That is how international tensions are created. Tax-consuming public servants use international tensions to loot and plunder the people's wealth and power. The government schools have been teaching a lie which you believed, and it is a contributing factor in your illness. If we can expose the lie and replace it with the truth and logic, perhaps your recovery can be very rapid. The biggest lie you believed was first taught in grade school and continued in high school and college. You were taught that our form of government is majority-rule democracy. The history books say we have a constitutional republic, and the teacher says a majority rule democracy. So what are we to believe? Do we believe the teacher or do we believe the history book? I believed the teacher when I was in school, but after living in the real world and watching this nation stumble about, my common sense told me all is not well. I discovered the painful truth about my government and the hazard it had become. Yes, I too believe the lie about a majority-rule democracy, but when I read the history books, the truth became quite evident. No majority-rule democracy has ever worked in all of history, and this nation is about to prove it again. James Madison, the father of the United States of America Constitution, told us that democracy would lead to loss of property rights, contention, and chaos, the exact symptoms we are suffering from. Thomas Paine, that great intellect and motivator of the American Revolution, told us that democracy was the vilest form of government there is. That is the opposite of what you were taught in government school. At this point in your treatment, therapy and cure are all within your reach if you will begin to research the facts for yourself. The Constitution of the United States of America makes no provision for a democracy, whatever, except for the elections of public servants. That vote is not as important as your second and third votes. Part of your mental problem is you did not know about the three votes in our constitutional republic. Your tax-consuming school teacher didn't know about your second and third votes, so you were not taught the whole truth. Our government cannot be controlled by your one vote on election day. But if, quote, we the people, unquote, use our second and third votes properly, we will regain absolute control. The key word is control. Do the people control the government, or are the people controlled by the government? Your job as an IRS agent will become very difficult when the people discover how to use their grand jury and jury vote. You will learn the Constitution very well, and you will follow it to the letter, as it will be your only protection. Grand juries will be investigating any of your activities which tend to be oppressive or criminal. Your mental problems will be cured in a hurry if a grand jury indicts you for criminal activities. If you are charged for violating your oath of office, you may well be tried by an informed jury. If that were to happen, the cure of your mental problem would become very painful. A guilty verdict by a jury of an IRS agent under USC Title 18, Section 241 and 242 would be an inducement for all IRS agents to look for an honest job. Earlier in this letter, I stated your mental problem was induced by certain factors. We, the people, can induce a massive therapy and cure of the entire IRS problem by simply using our second and third votes to indict and convict IRS agents for their crimes. The grand juries and juries have been manipulated by U.S. attorneys and federal judges in the past, but as the information you are reading becomes available to the people, you will see a change. The people will no longer be manipulated or used by political appointees called U.S. attorneys and judges. If these letters do not administer a dose of fear in your mind, then the grand juries and juries will probably cram the medicine down your throat with force. The prosecutors and judges who have conducted unconstitutional activities will also be given some bitter-tasting medicine. Control is the name of the game, and the rules have been changed by our government schools. The people believed what they were told and guided by what they believed. As the nation's problems escalate into disasters, more and more people are searching for answers. These letters are part of a book which will give taxpayers a starting point and other viewpoints to consider as they search. Those who are looking for answers will find history to be the great source of information. We were taught and we learned history in the government schools. We should have been taught to learn from history. The junk heaps of history record the mistakes of others, and if we can avoid making the same mistakes, we will have learned and profited from history. Those who learn from history do not repeat history. The problems of unemployment, high taxes, bankrupt Social Security, and inflation are the evidence which proves history to be right and your education wrong. You believe what the school taught without questioning the accuracy of the information. Government will control anyone who believes what government tells them. You have not questioned, and you are controlled by your government. I questioned, and I am no longer controlled by government. Control is the name of the game, and freedom from government control starts with mental independence. The government school will not encourage independent thought. I well remember my own school days of believing everything I was taught. I was a trusting soul until I discovered my government and the IRS did not trust me. In fact, the IRS accused me of being a liar, and my trust in government ceased at that moment. I became an angry American who suddenly recognized the government you represent is an illegal and criminal monster. I am a king in my castle, and no servant of mine is allowed to call me a liar. I am the master and the president. I am the master and the president, the Congress, and all of the judges are my servants. I will gladly pay my fair share to support a legal, constitutional republic, but I'll fight a democracy to the last bloody drop. I will not live in a society where public servants and unproductive parasites can vote themselves goodies and benefits at my expense. I will not allow these leeches to vote themselves a free lunch and expect my children, grandchildren, and unborn great-grandchildren to pay for it. That's what happens in a democracy, and you would sell your soul to such a system. You're the sucker who bought the Brooklyn Bridge because you're so gullible. Your government schools will have to go the way of the passenger pigeons if liberty and freedom are to return to these United States of America. The education process will have to be managed as a free enterprise function without government interference. Most of your mental weakness is a direct result of your government-controlled education. Your recovery from such an induced problem should now be progressing quite satisfactorily. Truth administered in large doses should be creating many questions in your mind, and if you are now thinking for yourself, a complete recovery will happen. To help speed your cure, let me also inject a dose of fear. I mentioned some law earlier in this letter, and here it is. Title 18, Section 241, U.S. Code, quote, conspiracy against the rights of citizens, unquote. If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any citizen in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or because of his having so exercised the same, if two or more persons go in disguise on the highway or the premises of another with intent to prevent or hinder his free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege so secured, they shall be fined not more than $10,000 or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. And if death results, they should be subject to imprisonment for any term of years or for life. Title 18, Section 242, United States Code. Deprivation of rights under color of law. Whoever, under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom, willfully subjects any inhabitant of any state, territory, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or to different punishments, pains, or penalties on account of such inhabitant being an alien or by reason of his color or race than are prescribed for the punishment of citizens, shall be fined not more than $1,000 or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. And if death results, shall be subject to imprisonment for any term of years or for life. This is law, and you as an IRS agent may well be indicted under an informed and independent grand jury. Then you could be tried by an informed and independent jury of angry taxpayers. For now, you've been given a lot of medicine and therapy, but you have a great deal more coming in the days ahead. More letters with more truth, fear, and logic, fact, humor, ridicule, and satire will be coming your way. I'm putting a tremendous amount of time and effort into these letters, so you can hardly question my sincerity. I want to help, but if you do not accept my offer, then these letters may help those people on grand juries and juries to know how to force a cure. Sincerely, your concerned master. Any government that must use fear and force to collect taxes is not of, by, or for the people. Such a government is an enemy, and any who would collect taxes to finance and perpetuate such a government is also an enemy. This is the end of letter three. It's a very significant undertaking to place this down and to place it right on the shoulders of every IRS agent that gives you a call, that comes to your house under the color of any law. They are acting illegally. And once the taxpayers and once the juries, informed juries, become aware, every judge in this country, every IRS agent, could be subject to charges. I don't know if you know of anyone who has suffered the consequences of a tax audit, whether they've been in jail and been killed in jail, or whether they killed themselves. But that's murder brought on by intimidation. These are where Title 18 comes in, Section 242 and 241 and 242, where essentially it's a conspiracy against the rights of citizens and the deprivation of rights of citizens. Well, let's hearken back just a second to the presidential candidates. Michelle Bachmann's a tax attorney. She believes everyone should pay their fair share. And then there are people who say that, oh, well, 40% of the American public doesn't pay taxes. That's not true. We are paying taxes through inflation. This is the way this government operates. Note that the Federal Reserve gave, basically, as a private corporation, allowed the federal government to borrow money from that corporation with interest, money that it just printed when we lost the gold standard. And to pay that back, that's where the 16th Amendment comes in, and Social Security. That these are scams set up by the government to essentially fleece the American public so we can have grand expeditions and go to war unconstitutionally and murder a whole bunch of people and create whole classes of people who are slaves to the tax system, create a welfare system where people are allowed to create their own, vote themselves their own benefits. Think about how the welfare system works, right? You have a person who is the breadbasket, if you will, of the family, who keeps having babies. And at some point, somebody in the family says, you can't handle all those babies, so I'll have to take them for you. Well, how much does the state pay and the federal government pay for you to take in those kids? Well, say you have five or six kids, that's $144,000 a year that you can make just based on having kids. Now, Michelle Bachmann foster-raised 23 kids, and she cites that as such a great, caring, wonderful thing to do, and what a great mom and so forth. Well, how do you think she made her millions? 23 kids, think about that, how much per year for 23 kids? Staying at her home for all this time? Think about that. Not one of the presidential candidates or anybody in Congress will say that taxes are illegal. Oh, but they'll accuse you of being a tax cheat. The only one who will say that is Ron Paul. Gradually, his words have been coming out, and people are beginning to understand that it's time to stop feeding the beast. You are not required to do so. It is unconstitutional. It's a law that never was. Incidentally, that book as well is available on Dr. Kate's View. Just drop me a note. We'll be able to get that to you as soon as we can. Now, let me take a little break here and check in the chat room, see what's going on. Hi, everybody. Tenacity, you want to call in and say anything, and let me ask our guest, Red Beckman, if he'd like to weigh in on this letter. Red, you've got a live mic if you would like.
Can you hear me, Dr. Kate?
Yes, I can. Welcome, Red. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, I think back, those letters were in that book that was published in 1984. And, you know, that's about 28 years ago. And people just were so comfortable. And they were so busy, and they had jobs, and they were able to keep their heads above water. And they just didn't pay attention to what I was saying back then. But now the situation has changed dramatically with all of the air coming out of the real estate bubble when it burst in 2008. Now, these people that are in their homes that they bought, they're upside down. The whole house, the home they're living in, is worth less than what they technically owe on the house. And so a lot of people are just abandoning their homes. They're not even waiting for the foreclosure. Of course, a lot of them are waiting for the foreclosures. But it's a different world today than what we had back in 1984. And I look back and I, you know, I ask people, you know, why weren't you awakened back there? Those many years ago, I traveled this country to and fro. We even had television on programming on the satellite. But I guess you'd have to say I was kind of lonesome in my viewpoints. And I would tell people at that time, they'd say, well, how long is it going to take to wake up the American people? And I would tell them it's going to take an economic holocaust, an economic meltdown, before the people in the country would listen to what I was saying. And so here we are. We're getting, you know, much, much more activity today than with these letters than we got back there in 84. And so hopefully we can get enough people paying attention and waking up and recognizing that we have a major problem that we must take care of in this country. We do not want to go where the people are in Europe today. That is a pathetic situation in Europe if people in this country really knew what was happening over there. It's bad, very, very bad, and it's going to get a lot, lot worse. And so I hope that people will listen to these letters week after week. And, of course, we're going to republish the book. There's a couple of changes that need to be made. I'm going to add another letter. It'll be number 7. And it will explain to people how they can defeat the Internal Revenue Service if the Internal Revenue Service tries to get them into the tax court. The tax court is a misnomer. It is not a court at all. It is absolutely the last thing in the world that should ever be called a court, because it is no court. There is no due process. You don't get a jury. The judge himself is a public servant. He has a conflict of interest in all tax controversies for the simple reason that he is a beneficiary of the tax laws, and therefore he cannot make findings of fact or conclusions of law in a tax case because of his conflict of interest. And we've been very successful stopping the tax courts from ripping off the American people, which is what they're there for. They're there to, you know, make the taxpayer turn his pockets inside out and pay everything that he says is due. And so this is one of the things that we have to stop, and we can stop it, but the American people are going to have to become involved in the process. And I just hope that a lot of people are listening to these letters that you're reading, and sooner or later, and I hope sooner rather than later, that book, Due Unto the IRS As They Would Due Unto You, will be available on their computers. They'll be able to download it, and that'll be something I would really like to see. And, of course, we've got Terry Dodd working on that at the present. And so, anyway, I'll go back to you, Dr. Kate, and you're going to have your feet wet here before you go very far, because you're getting into this thing, you're getting the picture, and you're doing a great job, and I just really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you very much, Red. I have a great teacher in you, and I am very grateful. And, you know, thinking of the economic meltdown, which is certainly coming, the other thing which is going to, I believe, totally awaken people and ask for your opinion on this, two things. One is Obamacare, which essentially is going to take everybody's paycheck and allow the government to get into your bank account. The second is that most people are becoming aware of Marxism and communism and seeing it every day. And I think most people would be surprised to know that the idea of taxation originated with Marx, as one of the communist manifestos is to create a progressive tax. So you think about this happening way back in 1913 and even before. So just wanted to know if you had some thoughts on those two items.
Well, yes, the income tax is the number two plank in the Communist Manifesto, and Karl Marx wrote it, and he said that there should be a tax on incomes, and he spelled it out loud and clear what he had in mind, and that's where the income tax, as we know it today, really became part of our system, because in 1913, the history, of course, on the income tax starts back in 1895 when Congress passed an income tax law, and, well, 94 when they created the legislation. Then in 1895, the U.S. Supreme Court threw the bill out because it was unconstitutional, they said. And so Congress, they schemed until 1909. Over 10 years, the Congress was trying to figure out how they could get around the U.S. Supreme Court decision in the Pollock versus Farmers Loan, which is the case that the Supreme Court, that's the title of the case that the Supreme Court that's the title of the case where they declared it unconstitutional and threw it out. And so it wasn't until 1909 that the Congress thought up this, they come up with this idea of this 16th Amendment to the Constitution, which would supposedly make an income tax a constitutional tax. And, of course, back in Montana, when I was still there in Montana, that's my state. I love Montana, and that's where I would prefer to be, but I can't be there right now. But anyway, some of the people, farmers and ranchers and small business people and such, they came up with the idea that the 16th Amendment was probably not lawfully ratified and that it should never have been attached to the Constitution. And, of course, today there's over 17,000 certified documents proving that the 16th Amendment ratification was a total fraud. It did not get enough states. In fact, there wasn't any states of the 48 that we had at that time. There's not one of them where the state legislature actually did the job that they were supposed to do and do it right. They would suspend the rules and all kinds of crazy manipulations that they went through. And it was not ratified, but it's been attached to our Constitution ever since. And here's the thing that I've got to get people to recognize. It is so easy for us to blame the politicians. It is so easy for us to blame the Republicans and blame the Democrats and blame the media. We can blame as many people as we want, but we're not going to solve all these problems until we, the people, down here at the grassroots, when we come to the point where we recognize that we are the ones who failed. We failed the Constitution. The Constitution didn't fail us. And so when you complain about the Congress and the courts and the IRS and the Republicans and the Democrats and all that, just don't forget what I just said. It is we, the people, that have to accept the blame for everything that has happened to us in this country. We didn't pay attention. We let the government, we let the scoundrels take over the public school system and decide what the curriculum would be. Horace Mann came to this country from Europe in about 1837, and he was dedicated to bringing about a situation where we would have tax-paid public education, tax-paid public education system. It only took him about 13 years to accomplish that because the people were too busy. They didn't have time to pay attention to what was happening. And so when the government got control of the schools and the curriculum that is being taught, that's when they came along with this idea that we have a democracy rather than a republic. And it's just, we the people, we're the ones that have to take the blame. We can blame others, but that isn't going to change to anything. We've got to blame ourselves. We didn't use our votes on juries to say not guilty when they prosecuted one of our neighbors or somebody for income tax evasion. It was the government that was guilty, not the taxpayer, but we sat on the juries and we did exactly like that judge told us to do. That judge is a lawyer in a black dress. He's a beneficiary of the tax laws. He's got a conflict of interest. He has no authority on that bench. It is we, the people on the jury, that have the power, and we allowed them to manipulate us because we didn't know the facts. We didn't know what the truth was because we didn't care whether we knew the truth or not. We were so busy entertaining ourselves and making our millions and all that type of thing, and we just messed up royally, and now we're not going to change it until enough of the American people say, I'm sorry. My children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, I've got to admit to them that I was wrong. I'm to blame for the rotten world that they're about to to inherit. And so that is so important that we understand that. We're not going to make the corrections we need until we, the people, recognize our failures.
Thank you very much for that. It is the consent of the governed, and we,
yes,
through our silence, have given the consent. I'm also pleased to welcome Terry Dodd on this evening. Terry, what do you have to say here?
Well, it's hard to follow and act like Red Beckman.
I know. That's why I switched it quickly over to you.
That's cheating. Well, you know, I don't believe people recognize how much our freedoms have been taken away from us when they instituted the Federal Reserve System and then put the IRS into business collecting an unconstitutional tax in order to pay the interest on a fraudulent debt. Every April the 15th, for many, many years, people have been worried and come out of pocket with money that was being basically stolen from them. And Red has done so much work to try to help people understand this tyranny, this enslavement that they've done. And I also don't believe people recognize how unnecessary it is. We've been so conditioned by the government schools and by the government-controlled media to believe that it's patriotic to pay this tax, when in fact it's an absolute crime that the government's been committing on the people. And I'm just pleased to be associated with Red, because he's been fighting this battle so long and so well, and it's really great that finally a large number of people are beginning to wake up to this. And I'm really pleased also, Kate, that you've picked up the ball on this and have been bringing this message forth to help people understand it.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you so much, Red. And just in case our listeners don't know, the idea is to take these letters and use them. And make them your own, of course, but use them. Without further ado, I'm going to jump into letter number 4. We have about 40 minutes left, and then I would like to return to both asking Red and Terry to weigh in on this letter with additional thoughts. And you're welcome to weigh in any time, but I'm going to start again with letter number 4. Dear Mr., Mrs., Ms., and Dr. IRS agent, I hope this letter, number 4, finds you doing quite well in this process of regaining your mental health. Your therapy will again involve another segment of our society. We have explored the part of our government schools played in giving you false information, and now we must check out another problem area. What this letter has to say will make most ministers, Sunday school teachers, and church members very unhappy. But if the truth hurts, then they should change their ways. Any minister who has preached from the pulpit that we must render unto Caesar whatever Caesar demands should be tried for treason. Now that was meant to be a shock. Hang on, I'm just muting for everyone's enjoyment. Hopefully I didn't mute myself here. Let me read that again. Any minister who has preached from the pulpit that we must render unto Caesar whatever Caesar demands should be tried for treason. Now that was meant to be a shock, and I am sure it is to many people. A Caesar is unlawful in this constitutional republic, but most religious leaders are not aware of that fact. If Christ had lived in our day and in our nation, he would not have said, render unto Caesar. If he were confronted by his enemies today, he would have told you IRS agents to obey the Constitution of the United States. Christ would also invite himself to your home for lunch. When Christ went to the tax collector's house for lunch, the agent's mental problem was cured and he promised to repay those he had robbed. See Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. The ministers today are afraid they will lose their tax exemption if they talk about your mental problem. Apparently, it is more important to maintain the tax-exempt status than to help someone with a problem such as yours. Now, let's get back to the matter of ministers and their treason. Christ did not say to render unto Caesar what Caesar demanded. Only what belonged to Caesar was to be paid. Also, the word tribute was used because the Caesar's army had conquered that nation. Taxes are not tribute. Tribute is paid to a conqueror by the conquered. The treason of our ministers is very serious because the tax-consuming government employees can play the part of Caesar. You have perhaps audited a great many good church members who believe you represent Caesar. These good church members did not question their pastor because they put so much faith and confidence in him. This is what makes the minister's crime of treason so serious. The trust and confidence of church members has been violated by those pious and self-righteous hypocrites. The religious leaders of Christ's day were made of the same mold, and they too led the people astray. Christ also called them hypocrites. These religious leaders are also teaching our government is a higher power. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13, 1 through 7, that we are to be subject to the higher powers. Here again, we have ministers who would apply the conditions of the Roman government to our day. When that letter was written by the apostle, the Roman Caesar was a conqueror. The people were under the iron fist of the Caesar. In our constitutional republic, we, the people, are the higher power over our tax-consuming president, Congress, judges, and IRS agents. All tax-consuming public servants are under the iron fist of the Constitution, and they must be subject to those higher powers. You have had no problem with taxpayers who have allowed themselves to be brainwashed in the schools and churches. You have only had trouble with taxpayers who think for themselves, and therein lies a secret. Many governments in history have used so-called spiritual leaders to help gain control of the people. The Roman Pope issued a papal bull condemning the barons of England in 1215 AD. Those barons had written a law called Magna Carta, which was designed to control their king, and they forced King John to sign that law. The spiritual leader in Rome was furious when the divine right of King John was challenged. Every tyrannical government in history has challenged God the Creator for dominion over man. When will our ministers read and learn from the pages of history? The Holy Scriptures are a goldmine of information about political triumphs and failures. The rise and fall of kingdoms and empires in the endless cycle proves the old saying, history repeats itself. What we should learn from the record in Scripture is, quote, nations which become evil and wicked are destroyed because God the Creator does not tolerate evil, unquote. Nations that promote truth, justice, morality, and respect for human life seem to enjoy peace and prosperity. Has your pastor sensed the problems of higher taxes, high unemployment, high inflation, and international tensions are a result of evil and wicked government? Our government has lied to us, and we have not heard any protest coming from our pulpits. Oh, yes, we hear an isolated voice or two, but they are condemned by their peers. That one voice of protest will be drowned out by those ministers who could not stay in business if they lost their tax exemption. Our big-time religious denominations and organizations are thriving under a Caesar. Oh, yes, they are always begging for money. They will handle many millions of dollars, but they are just like government. They always want more. They always have more plans and programs, but most of their motivation is for more of the people's wealth and power. History proves religious leaders have been unable to bring about any kind of orderly society. Religious leaders have been some of the most bloody and oppressive tyrants. The sad part of this whole scene is that it is very rare for religious leaders to repent and change their ways. Religious leaders are masters at changing the meaning of words or whatever they must do to justify their particular doctrine. Changes are brought about by the people rather than the leadership. Martin Luther was not leadership when he made his famous break with the church. He became leadership because he was a man enough to stand for his convictions. He was an independent thinker who did his own mental homework. Show me a minister who disputes the content of this letter, and I will show you a man totally programmed by the minds other than his own. The double whammy of government schools and denominational seminaries teach lies is tough to break. If the student accepts what he is taught without any individual research, you have a programmed rather than an educated individual. A minister who is programmed will spend his life trying to mold people into the image of a Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, and etc. Somehow they forgot man was to function in the likeness of God. About now, you would like to talk back to me and straighten this character out real quick-like. You're just itching to tell me about separation of church and state. Well, that is one of my favorite topics, so let me give you the view of one who does his own thinking. I don't believe anything I'm told or taught until my own research is completed. The schools and churches would program us to believe the church was to be neutral from the government. Here we have a very clear-cut case of intellectual dishonesty. They would change the meaning of the word, quote, separation, unquote, to mean the same thing as, quote, neutral, unquote. Thomas Jefferson was president in 1802 when he wrote a personal letter to the Danbury Baptists. The term, quote, separation of church and state came from that letter. President Jefferson was a master of the English language, and if he had wanted the church to be neutral, he would have used that word. The word separation is a word used by the founding fathers as they separated the powers of government. Checks and balances are the result if there is a separation of powers. The legislative, executive, and judicial branches of government were given separate powers. Jefferson also sensed the church could and would be a check if there was a separation. Confiscatory taxation is theft, and God law says, thou shalt not steal. The freedom of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment is to protect the church's function as a check. IRS agents lie, steal, cheat, and generally violate the law with impunity. The religious area of our society is not speaking out against such evil and wicked activities. The First Amendment guarantees the press freedom to criticize and expose government wrongdoing. The free press is to be a check against the government, and the church should also be such a check. The process of therapy and cure for your mental problem should be coming along quite well. In the past, you have believed what you were told in schools and church. You should be questioning everything you ever believed at this stage of your treatment. Don't believe what I have said in these letters either until you have checked out the facts for yourself. I do not run around trying to make converts to believe my ideas, theology, or theories. Logic and facts are much more substantial food for thought than the emotional fluff of most religious activities. Our world and our nation is in chaos, and the confusion of thousands of religions adds to the picture. Churches and governments thrive if they control the minds of people, and fear is a tool used by both. Minds guided by belief and fear are easily controlled by a government or church. To give you a little more incentive to speed up your recovery, we should go into the scriptures again and read the story in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter. Here we find the story of a young and foolish king who decided to raise taxes and use fear to collect those taxes. The young king sent out the chief tax collector, but the people used stones to kill him. In these United States of America, we are now seeing IRS agents assaulted and abused by angry taxpayers. We will soon be having juries saying not guilty if a taxpayer is charged for a crime against IRS agents. It will be a hung jury, perhaps because someone on the jury will have read this letter. One well-informed independent juror has more power than all of government combined. That is how our form of government was designed. Fear was to have been your companion, not mine, and that is the way it will soon be. We, the people, have been shortchanged by the religious area of our society. The minister has not discerned the lies taught in the schools, and they were deceived. Men need not be evil to be deceived, but if they are guided by a lie, they will become evil. If the church does not speak out against evil government, it will become evil itself. When the government school taught and promoted the majority rule democracy, the church should have been the first to recognize the big lie. Now the church has actually become an enemy of the people because it is not a check against government. The churches have become an ally of evil and wicked government. The churches have become a divisive monster, and the result is a divided and conquered people. We were given a nation of law as one nation under God. We do not serve any Caesar or king who might claim a higher position than the people themselves. King George III claimed a divine right to be king over the 13 colonies. The American Revolution exposed him as evil rather than divine. If the churches in America wish to be patriotic, they will become a check against evil and a wicked government. They will instruct their membership to do as to the difference between the evils of a democracy and the freedoms and liberty of a constitutional republic. They will also instruct the people as to how a nation under God can be possible. I have never heard a minister teach how to enforce God's law. I have never heard a minister preach on the evils of man-made law. Why have we been shortchanged by these men of the cloth? The answer will be hard to absorb by these men who are so sure of themselves. They were deceived and they believed a lie. They are guided by false teachings and they have become false teachers themselves. The grand juries and juries are the separate branches of government that are judges of man-made laws enacted by our tax-consuming public servants. The people on the grand juries and jury will uphold and enforce man-made law, which is evil, unless someone informs them of their power to nullify such laws. The church should be teaching people how to enforce God's laws and the laws of common sense. The people on these juries should be taught how to judge and nullify any man-made law which violates God's law. That is how one nation under God can be maintained. The tax-consuming public servant is governed by the Constitution of the United States of America. The grand juries and the juries are not under the U.S. Constitution, but they are bound by God's law and the laws of common sense. Any law created by dishonest politicians who lied to win votes must be judged by the juries. Any law created to control, plunder, or bring back a Caesar must be nullified by grand juries and juries refusing to enforce such laws. The ministers are teaching we have a nation under Caesar because they believe our government is a higher power over man. This is inexcusable error, which is contrary to all intents and purposes of God, the Creator, who intended for man to be subject to God alone. This was to be a nation where the individual under God, not a Caesar or a majority, was the higher power over government. The U.S. attorneys, judges, and IRS love to hate good brainwashed church members on the juries. There can be 11 people on that jury who believe our government is a Caesar, but one informed juror saying not guilty can hang that jury and deny the IRS a conviction. Your fraudulent IRS code can be nullified by independent thinking voters on juries. This session of treatment and therapy has become quite long. I will enclose the story of a tax revolt in Scripture in case you do not have a Bible. It is a very interesting look at history which has not been heard. Until my next letter, sincerely, one who dares call it treason with righteous indignation. Our voting booths have become the greatest slave market in history. We have sold our children's children to the Federal Reserve and international banksters. Now, we have a few minutes, so I would like to read this tax revolt history, 1 Kings 12. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebar, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put on us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Sorry for pronunciations, everyone. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To our own tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed their tents. But as for the children of Israel which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. A tax revolt. That's the end of the fourth letter. And Red, would you like to make some comments? I really didn't read that story of Kings very well, but
I'd like
to ask.
I really like that story because it fits our situation so well up to a point. And the point where we get lost is we don't make we don't have the resolve, we don't have the fortitude to tell the government, say, we're done with you. We don't need you, and we'll go our own way. And when you send the tax collector out, we'll throw him in the slammer. In that case there, the people took up stones and stoned the chief tax collector. And we don't have to go that far. All we have to do is take these people and set them down and teach them a few facts and such like we've got in the letters, and you know, do a rehabilitation. These people need to be rehabilitated, and all these government employees, they're the people that we went to school with. Some of them are our kinfolk, and one thing and another, and they have made the mistake of believing what they were taught, and they have gotten themselves into a terrible trap. And as I said earlier, we the people have to take the blame for the situation we're in right now, because we just have not paid attention, and we have lost what was given to us by the founders of this country. They gave us our freedom, and of course, today, if you ask an American if we're free, and they'll say, oh, yes, we're free in this country, and then you ask them the question, well, are you afraid of the IRS? And they say, oh, IRS, oh, I'm scared to death of the IRS. Well, you can't be free and have fear. It just doesn't work that way. And I had a humorous thing happen here. I'll close with this. A friend here recently in the last month or so called and was, they were so disgusted at Obama, one of his executive orders or something that he had put out that was blatantly unconstitutional and un-American and all of that. And this fellow was just telling me how mad he was about all of this and everything. And when he finally got done ranting about how bad this was, why, he gave me a chance to speak, and I said, boy, I'm sure glad Obama did that. I think that's great. And my friend was just, he was just speechless. And I laughed at him. I said, don't you realize that we Americans, it takes an awful lot to get us mad, but watch out. If we get mad, we're bad. We really are a terror to whoever's in our path, whoever's obstructing ourselves and why we're getting mad. And every time Obama comes out with something like this, why, there's another million or more, several million that get mad and say, hey, we've had enough. And this is what we've got to do. We've got to see these things happening and recognize how dangerous they are. And we need to get mad. An American is real difficult. It's real difficult to get them mad. But boy, when we get mad, we're tough, and we get hard to get along with, I guess. But anyway, I think this is happening. I think people are well, the people that are listening, as you read the letters tonight, they're kind of shaking their heads. And, you know, They just don't think that way, but they're in a bind now. They sense that they're in trouble, and so they're going to pay attention. They're going to listen to what these letters have to say. And I'm just glad you're there, Dr. Kate, and glad you have this program. And I'll turn it back to you.
Well, thank you so much, Red, and your words of wisdom are really to hang on and notice, really, the gift that we've been given by this completely unconstitutional President Obama in office, and how much it has opened our eyes to the Federal Reserve and to all the things that have happened to our country and to all the ways in which we've been induced and seduced to replace our God with the federal God, to have the Constitution be rendered meaningless and to have our own powers rendered meaningless. There is much to work on, much to continue to work on. I am going to put the next two letters on my blog in the next 2 days, letters 5 and 6, plus these recordings of the first four letters. And I encourage you all to really look at them and to really contemplate how you're going to behave from this point on. You know, the more that people wake up, the more company you're going to have. And there are people right now who just are choosing between taxes and eating. What would you do? It is very important to be alert, to be awake, to support your neighbors, to talk about this. Let people know about this as much as you can. Get this book, The Law That Never Was. Give it to your legislators. Begin to think about nullification. Begin to learn about juries. The Fully Informed Jury Association, FIJA, is extremely important to get to. Support your sheriffs. Your sheriff is a constitutional officer. He can prevent. He has the authority to prevent these IRS and other federal agents from coming onto your property. I know there's an effort to try to get rid of the sheriffs right now and eliminate and eviscerate their power simply because they have so much power as constitutional officers. Support your sheriffs. Support your neighbors. And please get educated. This evening we're going to close with Amazing Grace, a wonderful song from the movie Endless War. I think it's very appropriate because what we've got now is endless war. Look at the saber rattling that's going on about Iran and everywhere else. Look at where all of our soldiers are. Instead of protecting the homeland and defending the United States of America, they're out somewhere else. Don't you think that's by intent? The Department of Homeland Security just brought millions of rounds of ammunition to lock it all up from the rest of us. These attacks are on guns and our Second Amendment rights. It's very important to take a look at what's going on. They're trying to foment race wars, trying to keep you distracted from where we should be right now. So remember, we must create a record of resistance. I would highly recommend you pull out your Bible and read 1 Kings. Read these stories. Read what is being told there. It's very important, and absorb. Look around. Be alert. Remember, this is a time when you're either going to be 100% deceived or you're going to see it very clearly. We hope the latter. Thanks, everyone, for joining us this evening. And have a blessed evening. And take a look at Dr. Kate Seo in the next couple of days. You'll get the rest of the letters and also the recordings of the ones that we've read. Thank you very much. Good night, everyone.
long.